Today on The Journey.
Why does prayer have to be so confusing, so mysterious, and so frustrating? Why in the Christian life does prayer and guilt seem to be two words that just go together?
Does prayer seem as if you're casting words into the ether, trying to perform some kind of supernatural trick that you can't seem to get a handle on? Well, you're not alone. So in the following minutes, Ron Moore will be along to share the beginning principles of true prayer from the one who knows it best. Before that, we want to offer you a copy of Ron's printed devotional, More Than Words. It contains 30 daily meditations that open up the Lord's Prayer so you can see all the treasure hidden there. You can get yours when you call 724-731-2018. 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Demystifying Prayer on the Journey.
When Lauren and I came to the chapel many years ago, every Sunday evening we had a service that centered on and around communion. And it went like this. We all gathered together, and then around 7 o'clock or so, one gentleman would get up and he would give out a hymn. And so we'd all stand and sing, and then someone would get up and pray. And I got to tell you, there were some guys who could pray. They could take powerful, beautiful words and weave them in with deep theological truths and intersperse scripture. And man, it was poetic. When I came on staff, I was told I was expected to participate in that service. And I got to tell you, it was one of the most intimidating times of my week. I mean, I was like minor league compared to these powerful prayers. And I prayed because I was expected to. And after a while, as the chapel grew, the same guys were praying. And so I went to individuals my age and said, come on, you guys got to participate in this like me. And they said, are you kidding? There is no way I'm going to stand up and pray after those guys. That'd be embarrassing. And I said, well, I do it. And they said, yeah, but you get paid to be embarrassed. I mean, you're doing it for free. I know what it's like to fail publicly, and also know what it's like to feel a failure in private prayer. And just about the time I get to the point where I feel like I'm on a pretty good stretch, someone hands me a book, or I listen to a radio pastor, and it just reminds me, oh man, they're praying a lot longer than I am. Sounds like a lot deeper than I am. I must be a real failure at prayer. Why does prayer have to be so confusing, so mysterious, and so frustrating? Why in the Christian life does prayer and guilt seem to be two words that just go together? We don't feel like we pray enough. We don't feel like we pray long enough. And when we do pray, isn't it amazing how many distractions come into our mind? Sometimes we're confused and we're frustrated because it seems like God answers everyone's prayer but ours. The double-edged sword of sharing how God answered your prayer is the reminder that he didn't answer the prayer of the person next to you. God, you know what, a small group, I just prayed, and the next day they called and I got the job. I just prayed and there was the promotion. And you're sitting there thinking, what am I missing? I prayed and the job's not here. I prayed and I got the same issues before. Did I do something wrong? Did I forget in Jesus' name and God threw it out? Did I not spend enough time in adoration before I went to confession, before I went to Thanksgiving, before I got to supplication? Now, here's one. What's this deal about praying in faith? Does praying in faith mean that I go before God and I say, okay, God, look, here's what I want. Here's how I want it. Here's when I want it. And by the way, I will not take no for an answer, because that shows God we're really serious. If I include your will be done, is that a cop-out? And don't get me wrong, not every Christian is perplexed by prayer, but I'm convinced more are than aren't. And so that's why I'm excited for us together to go through a passage of Scripture where Jesus teaches us about prayer. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Now, as you're turning there, just so we make certain we are on the same page, let me give you a definition of prayer from one of the best theologians out today, a guy named Wayne Grudem. And here's his definition of prayer. Prayer is personal communication with God. Isn't that simple? Prayer is personal communication with God. Okay, Matthew chapter 6. Found right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived. Jesus addresses many issues in the Sermon on the Mount, but right in the middle of it, he addresses prayer. And he addresses it in chapter 6, verse 5 through 14. And that's where we're going to spend some time looking at what Jesus has to say about prayer. So let's start. Verse 5. Jesus says, and when you pray, notice when, not if, not when you get around to it, but children speak to their father. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Jesus begins his instruction on prayer hitting the motive of prayer. And he starts with his favorite negative example of the religious leaders, the hypocrites, the Greek word play actor. And he says, here's what they love to do. They love to go to the synagogue where religious people gather and where people who would be impressed by prayer come. And they love to stand and they love to pray loud and long so that people will be impressed by their words. They also love to go on the street corner. By the way, the Greek word street is wide street. They don't choose Maple. They choose Main Street and the intersection there. And they stand on the corner. And again, they pray loud and long. So all those passing by will see what a great prayer they are. Jesus says they are impressing men, but that's fine because they are not impressing God. If that's your motive of prayer, to impress people, congratulations. That's all you get. Those of us who pray in public, and many of you do that, how many times have you prayed in public? And then after you got finished, thought, wonder how that went over. Wonder if it sounded right. Wonder if I got in all the stuff. Wonder if so-and-so, who's a great prayer, was impressed. There's the other end of that as well. Some of you would never pray in public. Why? You'd be embarrassed that someone wouldn't be impressed by your prayer. So let's just make this clear. Whether you pray to impress or whether you don't pray because you don't think people would be impressed, that's just either end of the same issue, isn't it? Pride. And prayer and pride never go together. So Jesus says in verse 6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now here Jesus is not saying you should never pray in public, and he's not saying the only place you can go pray is your room in your house with the door closed. He is using an illustration that we can grasp to remind us that prayer is to be a private, personal conversation between us and God, and that we are to keep it free from distractions. And those distractions are either when you're praying in public, the distractions of trying to impress people. You don't get that in a room. And when you're praying by yourself, the distractions that go around you. So go to a place within you, or go to a physical place, if you're praying privately, where you're not going to be distracted. Now, I don't know where that place is for you. It may be in the woods behind your house. It may be in the corner of your house. It may be in a coffee house. I don't know your personality. But the point is, Jesus says, go to some place you're not going to be distracted. Prayer is personal communication with God. Look at verse 7. And when you pray, notice he starts all these sentences, and when you pray, not if or be good to or you should, but when, because children talk to their father. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Again, here Jesus is not speaking against long prayer. He is speaking against formulaic prayer. The pagans had that long list of gods, and they would repeat the names of their gods over and over and over, hoping that one of the gods would hear them and respond to their request. Sometimes as Christians, we're not that far from the list, are we? Sometimes we can pray formulas given to us, or we create our own. And all of a sudden, our prayers are not personal communication, but old, worn-out prayer phrases. We've given before the model acts. A is adoration, C is confession, T is thanksgiving, S is supplication. And I don't regret giving that out unless you get caught in praying that just as a formula. Okay, God, let me see. I spent a couple minutes in adoration. Always hard to do that. How do I do that? And now it's confession. Don't want to spend a lot of time there. And now I get to Thanksgiving. That's great. And now supplication, because I got a lot I need. We are going to go through the Lord's Prayer. Jesus gives it as a model prayer. He does not give it so that we pray that prayer over and over and over again. He gives it as a model to show us some of the things we need to pray about. Sometimes we need to spend the entire day in adoration. Sometimes we need to spend the whole day in confession. Sometimes it's supplication, because we got a lot of things we need to pray about. Again, when you go through a formula, you just lose the personal communication. Personal communication with God. I hear people say, well, I pray early in the morning, and when I pray early in the morning, my day always goes better. Be careful with that. Would it go better if you got up even earlier? Sure, we should start our day with God. We should spend our whole day in God. But don't act like some superstitious rabbit's foot that if I get up and pray between this block of time in the morning, I'm more spiritual, my prayers are better, and God somehow blesses my day just because I do that formula. Be careful. It's personal communication with God. I'm not saying you shouldn't get up early. I'm not saying it shouldn't be the best part of your day. I'm just saying be careful that you don't begin to depend on the time rather than the person to whom you're praying. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Don't be like the hypocrites, and don't be like the babblers, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. If I had any say in this, which I didn't, I would have told Jesus, put that later, because we're on a roll here. I mean, we're talking about the hypocrites, and we're talking about the babblers, and we can go right into the model. But here Jesus throws in this deep theological truth about God's sovereignty and His omniscience. And it's like we're moving along, and then it's just this literary screech on the brakes. Wait a minute. He knows what I need before I ask Him. So that begs a question, doesn't it? Why pray at all? Quickly, three words to answer the question, why pray? Number one, trust. When I pray, I am personally communicating with God, and I am demonstrating a trust. You're God, and I'm not. Relationship. We communicate to build relationship. We communicate to demonstrate relationship and develop relationship. And so we communicate with God. He desires relationship with us. That should blow our minds, knowing who we are. He desires relationship with us. Trust, relationship, partnership. Prayer allows us to partner with God on things that are eternally important. And there's a mystery there, but God allows us to partner with Him on these things. He's not going to answer everything we want. But again, that goes back to, okay, trust, relationship, partnership, and they just weave together. We'll talk more about that as we go through. Now, most of the time when we talk about prayer, we always think about it from our side, right? So let's spend just a little bit of time thinking about it from God's side. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Here's God speaking to Samuel. Samuel's a little boy at the time, and a beautiful picture of God's part in prayer. Now, God is God. He doesn't have hands or feet or ears or anything like that. But when He wants to explain to us who He is or how He works, He says He has hands or feet or ears. He ascribes human terms to Himself so we can understand. And here He does that. Look at verse 10 of chapter 3. The Lord came and stood there calling out at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Let's just think through that passage. First of all, what happened? The Lord came. Isn't that amazing? God comes to us. Religion is about man trying to work his or her way to God. Relationship with God is always about God coming to us. He does that throughout the Old Testament as God the Father. He does it in a significant way in God the Son, who comes to earth and makes His dwelling among us and dies for us on the cross. He does it in the form of God the Holy Spirit, who lives within us. God comes to us. We should never get over that. God comes to us. He comes to you in your anger. He comes to you in your frustration. He comes to you in your hurt. He comes to you in your pain. He comes to you when you can't get out of bed, you're so depressed. He comes to you in your anxiety with that meeting tomorrow. He comes to you. You don't have to get to Him. And in prayer, many times we think, okay, if we say these words, if we say them the right way, if we don't forget in Jesus' name, if we have the good salutation at the beginning, then God might hear us. That's baloney. It's the strongest word I could say. God comes to us. Secondly, He stood there. I love that. He just waits. He didn't barge in. Standing there waiting for you right now. God desires personal communication. He comes and meets you where you are, wherever that is. And He stands and waits. And then what's He do? He calls. He speaks to you. Now, I've never heard the audible voice of God, but there have been many times He has spoken to me in my spirit. Whether it's been in prayer, communication directly, whether it's been driving down the road, whether it's been in a meeting or whatever, God has spoken to me. Don't say what you're thinking. Keep your mouth shut. Might be a good time to say something here. Through Scripture, He speaks to us. God speaks to us. The eternal God speaks to us. Calling out as at other times. Now, that's cool because He's persistent. He's assiduous in His talking to us. He doesn't call us one time and say, you know, you didn't listen the last time. Forget it. Calling as at other times. And then He calls our name. Samuel, Samuel. He calls our name. And when He calls our name, He's not just saying a word. He is expressing our person. And when He calls our name, He knows exactly where we are and exactly what we need and exactly what we're dealing with. And intimately, He calls our name. That same picture is in the New Testament in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. It's a verse we often use in the gospel presentation. Technically, we shouldn't use it in the gospel presentation because it is addressed to believers. It's about fellowship. It's not about coming to Christ initially. It's about fellowship. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful picture. There Jesus is. He comes to you. He comes to your home, as it were. Don't have to wait on me. I'm right here. I'm standing at your heart's door. I am knocking. And if you will just hear my voice, can you hear my voice? Because I speak. And open the door. I'll come in and we'll have beautiful fellowship together. And we'll talk about trust, and we'll talk about relationship, and we'll talk about partnership and moving on. Will you open the door? Will you respond like Samuel? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. See, I believe we have made prayer way too complicated, way too mysterious, and we always put it in the category of what? Spiritual discipline, spiritual duty. C.S. Lewis says this, "Now the disquieting thing is not that we skimp or begrudge the duty of prayer. The really disquieting thing is that it should be numbered among duties at all." The only reason you want to talk to your wife, or the only reason you want to talk to your children, or the only reason you want to talk to a friend is because it's a duty. You don't have a very good relationship. One of the best explanations I've ever heard of prayer is from a guy named Francis Fenelon from the 17th century, a French theologian. He describes prayer in such a raw, beautiful way. Fenelon says, "Tell God all that is in your heart. As one unloads one's heart, its pleasures and its pains to a dear friend. Tell him your troubles, that he may comfort you. Tell him your joys, that he may sober them. Tell him your longings, that he may purify them. Tell him your dislikes, that he may help you conquer them. Tell him your temptations, that he may shield you from them, lay bare your indifference to good, your depraved taste for evil, your instability. Tell him how self-love makes you unjust to others, how vanity tempts you to be insincere, how pride disguises you even from yourself and others. If you pour out all your weaknesses, needs, and troubles, there will be no lack of what to say. You'll never exhaust the subject. It is continually being renewed. People who have no secrets from each other never want for subjects of conversation. They do not weigh their words, for there's nothing to be held back. Neither do they seek for something to say. They talk out of the abundance of their heart. Without consideration, they say what they think. Blessed are they who attain to such familiar, unreserved conversation with God." Isn't that good? That's prayer. Personal conversation with God. Cut the formulas. Cut the these and thous. Cut those worn out phrases. Conversation with God. One last thing. I think a lot of Christians love God, but they don't enjoy him. We love him. God love him. He's God. My prayer is through the series that we enjoy him as well.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast. Have you ever happened upon an old familiar trunk stored in the attic that you'd never opened? It had been there for years, a constant companion to your family heirlooms, but to that point, unexplored. Then one day, you had a look inside and discovered treasures you'd only dreamed of. Items with rich history that revealed more about you and your heritage than you ever knew existed. Well, that's a lot like the spiritual wealth found in the Lord's Prayer. In his devotional, More Than Words, Ron Moore unlocks and opens this favorite biblical passage. He compares scripture with scripture to unveil the rich concepts the Lord Jesus intended for you to find and enjoy. Items like living in awe of God, living in forgiveness, and seeking spiritual protection. We'll send More Than Words to you for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
Jesus knows when we call God our Father, the first thing we have to do is this. We need to hallow his name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. When you hallow the name of God, you honor who he is.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember our offer of Ron's devotional booklet, More Than Words. Understanding its biblical truths will revolutionize your prayer life, and it's yours for a gift of any amount. You'll find it at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org, BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on The Journey.